And then in the regular service, we're going over this how to live peaceably with all men. Part four this morning dealt with meekness. And we looked at meekness. It's not just a crawly, smally, wimp of a little person. The definition is mild of temper, soft, gentle, but also not easily provoked or irritated. Yielding, you know, willing to yield. Appropriately humble. Submissive to God's will, just kind of along those lines, as far as He would have you be that way. Not proud, self-sufficient, or not peevish. Not apt to complain of what God has to say. And then we looked up a couple of verse in Genesis where it talked about the fact that Moses was very meek and meek above all men. And the book stopped there, but we went on a couple more verses to find out that God gave him courage and gave him the strength mouth to mouth. He gave it to him as words. God told Moses what to say. So we get that thing applied to us today, even as far as that goes. We got mouth to mouth here, from God's mouth to our mouth, hopefully. So we looked at some verses about meekness. Showing all meekness unto all men, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. That's how we talk to people, not to strive with people, with lowliness and meekness. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul even said, "What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" So if we're not careful with that, we start to think that, well, then we need to be this soft-hearted, meek, loving, everybody giving up kind of a Christian. And we know that that's not true, because Paul also says that when it comes to points you can't be around, you don't need to be meek. You get out of the situation if it's a wrong situation. We've been through all that. I won't go through that long list of words again. But he doesn't tell us to be meek amongst the junk. He tells us, listen, you still need to get away from that. So the other half of this meekness thing we're going to look at tonight, I wish I could have done it just this morning and have it all tied together, but everybody would have heard it then, but that's just not the way it goes. We look at being bold. We look at bold. And here's bold, definition of bold: daring, courageous, brave, fearless. When applied to men or other animals, as bold as a lion, requiring courage in the execution, executed with spirit or boldness, planned with courage and spirit, confident. Then they give in this definition here in the 1820, they give the other side. In an ill sense, rude, forward, impudent. So, we've come to recognize, this is me, this is my opinion, this is my thoughts right now, that in the world that I've come up with as a Christian, boldness meant rude, loud, mouthy, in your face, impudent. I mean, you're just being a pain. And you know what I'm talking about? You know the guys that... my street preaching experience down in New York, and one of my men was down there nailing older folks as they get out of their car. They're not even out of their car, and he's over there with his finger in her face, telling her that she's going to die and go to hell. Kind of stuff like that. See, that they consider that to be bold. No, that's being rude. And so, bold, it's courageous, it's confident. It takes courage to say what you have to say. Executed with spirit. Planned with courage and spirit. I mean, there's still something that needs to be said. Fearless. Even daring. How would you dare say that? The timing. But we're not talking about being rude or loud. Get a thesaurus. You look up the word bold, and there's not a single time does it say loud, shouting, yelling, in your face. It doesn't say that. So, when we see that Paul tells us to be kind with people, he tells us that we need to do our best to stay away from the bitterness of things, so we still have to offer grace. But he also tells us to always do your best to get out of the situation if you can't handle it. If you're in a situation where you cannot be kind, or you're in a situation where you should not be kind, to be that Christian tells us to avoid, to stay away from those things. But then he also says that we need to be bold. But again, not loud and rude. For example here, let's go through some verses on being bold tonight. Nothing extravagant. I just think some good verses. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, that's Great Commission stuff. Why do you go back to that stuff? Because we still can. He tells us to go back to all the entire Bible to learn from it. But it's not to us. And here's how you learn from this verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Okay? Now, how can we apply that to us today? I mean, these Peter and John, they were bold. But at one time, they weren't. They're unlearned and ignorant men. You know what we are towards our Bible? What we were towards our Bible? Ignorant? Unlearned? We were. It's okay. We knew some verses. If I'd have gone forward to an invitation years ago and believed that God was calling me to the mission field in Romania in a time when it was closed, and I was willing to take my family across the border and hide them and all this kind of stuff like I was thinking, and then I come to find out later what I really had to learn since that time, I was very unlearned. I was very ignorant. Like, I'm going to go over and take Bibles over to Romania because I knew a lot of verses about music. Like, well, that's exciting. I'll show them how to play the piano correctly in their little caves and caverns. So I didn't. It was all sorts of thoughts. I won't get in, I guess, all sorts of thoughts about that thing. But here these two guys are. They were with the Lord. Well, what do we have? Here's how you take something out of Acts chapter 4, by the way, and still apply it to yourself today. Not to us. You know what I mean? They had been with the Lord, so these guys were bold. Well, what have you got? You've got a Bible. King James Bible, rightly divided. You're assured of you know where it came from. It came from Paul. It came from the Spirit of God. It came from the risen Savior to Paul. So as a result of that, we ought to be able to be bold. Not rude, not loud, not mouthy, not arrogant, but bold. Why? Because you've been with your book. Oh, I'm sorry, he can't sit by you. Oh. You want to move? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. She sees him. Well, no, you don't see him very often, do you? You got pictures. Now, look at verse 29. See, it's okay for us to be bold with what we have. 4:29. Still, Great Commission. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's not a problem. He still expects us to speak the word boldly. Except what do we have today? We have the King James Bible. They didn't have that. They were given what they were to speak boldly. So sure, if I'm that worn out or in mental breakdown because of this tube I have to fly in tomorrow and everything gets there, I'm going to have to be bold. Not loud, not rude, not pushy. I hope not that guy doesn't bring it out of me. Some of these guys. I hope not. But properly bold with what needs to be said, that's what we're supposed to be. I have all the confidence in the world about rightly dividing Paul. I have all the confidence in the world that the Mid-Acts guys are wrong. I'm sorry. I believe they're wrong. And I believe that they're dangerously wrong. That we can show our children how you can pick through the book of Acts and you can pick which books Paul wants us to go from. That makes us the final authority, the final scholar in the whole. I think that's a very dangerous thing. Nice people. Like, I would just throw that in because they are. They're very nice people. Well, why wouldn't they be? All they have is grace. They could care less what you do. They could care less what they do. They could even, you know, kind of a thing. Look at Acts 13. Let's see. Right away, your mind clicks. Let's see, Acts 13. That's into the Paul stuff. Now we got something that's to us. Well, Acts 13, verse 46. I guess we could go back to look at we could go back and look at 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And every time I read that, you know what I think of? Do you ever think of this? Wouldn't it be nice if just one time folks in this community got tired of hearing what they were hearing over all these years? Hey, let's just go down there and see what they say in there. Let's just find out for ourselves. And we come to church one morning and the place is just, there's bodies hanging over the thing. Wouldn't that just be, you know, Sue and Lewis drive up about 20 minutes early and it's like, honey, we don't even have a place to park. Wow. Well, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now, see, if this could happen in a couple of days, there's a man or two over there that does not want to see this Paul thing work. And let's just say, out of my negative thinking skills that I'm so great at, that we go to have this meeting at this memorial center we're gonna rent there, and this guy comes, and he's gonna make a big stink out in front of the building because that's what he does. See, now why would he do that? What does he care what we're teaching in there? Because he'd be filled with envy. There's people, and they're listening to this guy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. That's what he will do. Contradicting and blaspheming. It's kind of an interesting thing. When you talk to people that hate the teachings of Paul concept, and yet they pull out verses about their walk, you know where they're getting their verses from? They always get them from Paul's books. As far as your walk goes. And you ask them, by the way, where did you get that verse? Well, from Paul. Do you not see what I'm trying to tell you? That's where they still go. It's an amazing thing. Well, 46. Okay, so this is going on. This is going on. Contradicting and blaspheming and the whole deal. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. A pretty bold statement. Now, near as I can tell, he didn't jump up and he didn't put on a devil's costume. He didn't put on a Paul's costume. He didn't get out his bullhorn and just start reaming into these people. He just said, and it took boldness to say this, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. So he told them, okay, I'm supposed to tell you folks this first. I've done that. But seeing you put it from you, they don't want to hear it, a little stab right here, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. That's a little right there, isn't that? Isn't that kind of a little? So you don't think you're worthy, which is fine, you're not, but you still should be able to hear it, and Christ will make you worthy, that kind of a thing. But we turn to the Gentiles. Gentiles were a bunch of dogs. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. That's pretty bold. It wasn't loud, it wasn't stupid, it wasn't angry, near as we can tell, it was just bold. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Wouldn't that be exciting? But verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout, honorable women and the chief men of the city and expelled them, made them leave town. Verse 51, they shook off the dust off their feet and went someplace else. And the disciples were filled with joy. So if this whole thing were to bomb and we've done what we believe to be right and we come back with nothing, there should be joy if what was said was said. I should leave a sermon with joy if what was said needed to be said and was said. That's it. That's bottom line. Now remind me that. Keep reminding me that. Remind me that. Okay. Remind me that. Put that on the fridge. Put that wherever I'm at. Okay. Scratch them across my glasses. Let's look at Romans 15. I guess I could do it orally here. Repent 2 is on there, right? I thought they were. Okay. If they pop on wave or something, I want to ask something to Jason there. Romans chapter What did I say? 15. Let's go to 19. There we go. Sorry. You were right. I just somehow think I skipped the gun there. Romans 19 first here. I'm sorry. Acts 19. Acts 19. You know, there's a couple of things I've learned over these years. One is distractions in the church. That's why I just repeat things 4, 5, 6 times. I don't let distractions bother me. I just repeat them again. That's one thing I've had to learn. Remember a long time ago? I mean, 3 kids wiggled. My mind just went, hey, sit still, kind of a thing. And then it used to be I'd go through the sermons audio-wise, and I would find those little whoopsies like that, and I'd take them out. I could care less. Just leave them in there. I guess they just have to know that I are who I are. Rome, Acts, where are we at? Acts 19, verse 8. Acts 19, verse 8, okay? And here's Paul, the little after baptism thing there, and spoke with tongues and all that kind of stuff, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, how can that be if we're supposed to be kind? How can that be if we're supposed to be meek? Because he was just in there, and he was showing them, I'm sure without striving, because it says not to strive, and you know that these people oppose themselves, he's just telling them. But he's being very bold with what he tells them. I personally don't believe that the average street preacher is bold. I think the average street preacher is rude. I think the average street preacher is wrong. They put out a false testimony, and it makes people mad at God. Not that going through Paul's way is going to win these people on the streets, but you want to do it the right way. I'm hoping we can learn that over there for him. But he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things. He had to tell them this, tell them that. They would say this, he would say this back. That's okay. That's okay. Now let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. So he's written boldly. He's written boldly. Now, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind. Why? Because of the grace that is given to me of God. We have God's grace. And grace, the God, grace of God is our strength. We should have no problem with being bold with what we say. And here in this case, I have written the more boldly. Paul would rather have written what he had to write. He was able to be more bold with what he wrote. And I've come to learn that that's best for me. In many cases, it's best for me to write something instead of say something, and then lose my cool, lose my memory, and before you know it, you're having a squabble. And if I would have just written that little email or that little note, maybe that would have been the better way to go. Not that you're hiding or running from it, but sometimes you know your situation. You know you're not going to say it right, so it's best to write it. That's what he's doing here because of the grace of God given to him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So that's a good verse. That's being bold. Not rude, not mouthy, not sarcastic, not insulting. But you're bold in saying what needs to be said. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech. Now here's his speech, see? Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Oh, so we're talking about some tribulation there. But he was still bold. And it gave him comfort to say what he had to say. Do you ever get done with a conversation or saying something somewhere and you were not bold and you didn't say what you know you wanted to say, you didn't say what you should have said, and if you'd have said what should have been said, maybe... Or maybe not, it would have solved the situation. Maybe not. But as you walk away, you would have had what he says right there. He was filled with comfort. He said what he had to say. And I'm exceeding joyful in all the tribulation that followed. Why? Because he said what he needed to say. Don't you think that would solve a lot of things if people would just say boldly, without any anger and all that other stuff that comes in the flesh, the bitterness and the all that stuff, if we could just be bold and say what needs to be said and be comforted in that you were honest about it and be done with it. Let an increase be in God's. And what's the verse I'm supposed to remember on my fridge? What was I supposed to remember here? So you're not even going to help me remember. What did I just say a couple of seconds ago? Which one is that? Well, see, you're not even going to be able to help me now, see? I'm looking for this verse that would help me. I need to be bold and say what needs to be said. Have the comfort in that it was said. And I need to remember something. What was that?
Joy.
Something to do with joy. I think it had to do with Barnabas. Anyway, whatever.
1352. Acts 1352.
What's it say?
And the disciples were filled with joy.
There we go. Yep. Filled with joy. They were bold. They said what they had to say. Thank you very much. And the tribulation that follows, they still have the joy. Okay. That'll be a big bleep to take out of the sermon. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We have God's grace to be bold. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse... Oh, we did that one, didn't we? Okay, let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But I beseech you, verse 2. Okay. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So now the thing gets a little complicated. We have the liberty to be bold, but in some situations, the boldness is going to make you look like you're just being mouthy and out of place. You're doing it in your flesh. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. I mean, you've got that confidence to be bold because you've got God's grace. Wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Sometimes our boldness calls somebody to stumble too. Something to keep in mind. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Now, there's a good verse coming at the end, so hang in there with our Sunday night warm air, but we've got a good verse coming in at the end here. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have the Savior, we have the risen Savior, and we have Paul, we have rightly divided King James Bible, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Once again, we see how His faith that we have gives us that boldness and access with confidence. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. Okay, now we're going to get a little bit more down into us where we need to be here. Knowing, of course, that the Paul teachings are being tweaked with the mid-Acts crowd and the four or five different levels of mid-Acts crowd. I guess maybe sometimes I wonder how many folks out there are willing to look at a King James Bible rightly divided like we divide it. And I don't believe this. I don't want to say this to think that this is true or a possibility. But are there very many out there that rightly divide it like this? I mean, if the majority of the Paul followers are mid-Acts, then we have to examine that. Is that correct? Is that the correct way to go? Well, looking at your Bible, no. It just isn't, because Timothy and Titus does tell us those things. Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians does have things in there to us. Corinthians does, if you understand rightly divide or understand the King James Bible. Romans certainly does. And yes, this is the dispensation of grace, but he doesn't tell us that the grace is there as an excuse or as a liberty. Because he cleans up the liberty thing, not to cause somebody to stumble, not to do it for the occasion of the flesh. Do it for edification. Do it because it's the right thing to do, and not do it because it puts power over you. So I'm just starting to recognize here that we need boldness to stand for a simply divided, rightly Bible. I get a letter from that lady yesterday and today, and she wrote again today, of the joy of the simplicity and the peace of what she's seeing with all the problems that she's had. And these other folks are right, and they say it fits. It makes so much sense. Is it really? Are we really that unique and out of sorts here? I mean, I look back now, and other than those that are still sticking with Dr. Ruckman as if he is their God or whatever, I believe that the folks that can't stand what we're doing here would be very good mid-Acts church people. I really do. But I don't want to do that here. I really believe mid-Acts is wrong and following Paul the way we're teaching it is right. You want to hear me tell you how it goes? I'll tell you again. Thanks for asking, Sue. You've got Genesis to Malachi, Old Testament. You even break that thing down. You got the garden. Then you got before Noah. Then you got Noah. Then you got the law. Abraham. Then you got the law. Then you got the Gospels. And the Gospels are still Old Testament because Hebrews tells us that not till the death of the testator does it become the New Testament. So Jesus dies, New Testament. Great Commission. Teach all the signs and wonders, all the things that Jesus taught. They killed the preacher. Jesus himself went to Paul, the number one Christian hater, Church of God hater. Went to him, gave him everything, told him about all the fullness that God would give to the Gentile nation because of what the Jews have done. And when the Gentile nations are done and they're abusing the goodness of God and they don't want the goodness of God, God's going to cut them off from what he had done to them, and he's going to go over here right back to his people, which is in Hebrews to Jude, and there we go into the tribulation, and then we got the millennium, and that's just, why is that so complicated? You have no idea the nights I sweat looking at this thinking, this is too simple. And I got to go against who I got to go against to preach this? So I'd study it again, and I'd study it again. And I'd look up in their little commentaries, and I would go, he's wrong. He's wrong. This is just a terrible thing. So we have here in Ephesians 6:19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's that clue, mystery of the gospel. That's Ephesians chapter 3. That tells us that mystery is the joint heirs of Christ. That's Christ in us. That's exactly what Paul has to preach. In fact, we're even taught that we're supposed to teach the testimony of Jesus Christ according to that mystery, which is Paul. And I know I'm going to have an opportunity to say that to some people, and I really believe some of those folks are going to sit there and they're going to say, what are you talking about? And right away, my mind is going to think Ephesians chapter what? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, 18, 19, 20. They haven't been reading their Bible. So if they haven't been reading their Bible, I'm going to try to tell somebody something that Christ wants them to hear, but they haven't read their Bible, so it's going to make no sense to them. Or it'll make sense to them, and then some other guy will come along and show them something else out of that Bible, a mid-Acts thing. Oh, well, that'll make sense to them. Then another guy is going to come along and pop the Baptist teachings on that guy, and that guy is going to go, "Ooh, that makes sense," because this guy does it with more authority and more boldness and rudeness. He likes that kind of stuff. Then you're going to get this other guy that comes along. What are you talking about? Soul winning is the most important thing. And these guys are going to be tossed to and fro. Why is that? They haven't grown up. They've never read their Bible. And then we're going to come back. I'm going to be 10 times more frustrated. And I'm going to be looking for a job of painting bus trailer knobs or something. Because you just going to, you know what I mean? That's crazy. And he says there, listen, He wants that utterance. Now, God's not going to just give us utterance. He's given us that Bible. There's what we tell people. open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's been hidden from ages up until now, up to Paul. Now let's tell that to people. Let's be bold. Let's be meek, not strive. Let's be kind. Let's fight that bitterness because it's just a grace issue. Amazing. Look at verse 20. Acts 16, verse 20. Keep right on going. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak bold, that I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Again, when have you been in a situation where you didn't say something, but you know you should have? Ever been in there? Just if it helps you make yourself feel any better, I've been in that situation. I've been in that situation up here, let alone in homes or in a stores or restaurants or whatever. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Now, in some cases, I really believe that we don't say what we should say regarding Paul, other than the grace thing. Sometimes we don't say the things about Paul that need to be said, is because if we say it in the moment that we are in this situation, we are actually showing to them that we shouldn't be in this situation, telling them about Paul. Does that make sense? What I just said? It's like somebody who's I don't mean to use this, but it's the only I can think of. It's somebody standing there smoking, telling somebody they ought to quit smoking. Or somebody who's watching they go to the movie house or whatever, they got movies or whatever, and they really don't think it'd be wise for you to be doing this while you have a movie going. You got a movie rack in your house. I mean, it's one of those kind of things, you know. Just maybe that's why we don't say what we ought to say, is because we're not really in the position to say it. Now look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. This is when he's having a hard time in the palace and he's being challenged. Paul's in bonds. He's being hassled. And he says in verse 14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, a disappointment to me is all the things that are floating around, all the things that get talked about, all the things the community has said from the day that I got here, and even the days before I got here, about this new guy, that as we've gone through these years and things have gotten as hard as they've gotten, and now you know we're speaking Paul, you know we're speaking the truth about Paul, that it should actually have made you more bold, as it says, to speak the word without fear. But it usually goes the other way around. We cram down. We back off. Now, we're actually supposed to stand up for Paul. We're actually supposed to stand up for what's being taught. And if you really want, you really ought to stand up for the preacher because of what he's taught. Not for who he is, but just what's being taught. So the bonds that Paul's going through actually made his people stronger, not weaker. Two more verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I guess that's just a dream of mine. Every now and then I hear somebody stand up and say, "No, our pastor's all right. He's preaching Paul, da 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 da." I've heard those rare moments. Those are exciting to hear about. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. I guess that was sarcasm. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get away from that sort of thing. 1 Timothy 3:13. "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." So there's just a word to the men that we are to be bold in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's not our faith in Him. I believe he is saying in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's His faith. We should be able to be bold with that. And then here's the last one. This is the one that you won't hear from a mid-axer. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm sorry to say, it's a challenge for all of us to do this one right here. I didn't tell you the verse yet, right? Okay, so quit looking for it. This is the concluding verse. This is a good verse. Repent them. They never did make it, did they? Okay. And we just read about how we should be bold with what we have to say. Because of God's grace to us, we should be bold. Not loud, not stupid, not rude, just bold. Go ahead and say what needs to be said, and you're all right. Not with sarcasm, not with hurt stabbings in there, but bold. Amen? Okay, we should be able to do that. Now, verse 20. I almost hate to tell you the verse. Why don't you come back Sunday and I'll tell you the verse? Although, that's not going to happen, so... We'll do it tonight, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation... Now, this is really good. Everybody listen to this. This is good. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, how many of you are reading ahead? Okay. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness, as always... So now also Christ should be magnified in my body. Oh, serious? Yes, whether it be by life or by death. Which is not a good verse to read when you're about to get out an airplane, you know? You know, if I get killed on this airplane thing, you guys have a real bold sermon to this community about what this guy tried to do and what he tried to preach. Now, let's get back to reality, back to what we know is not going to happen here. Let's get back to this thing. He says, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness Christ shall be magnified in his body. His body. What that person, what somebody will see in you, we must be bold in how we present ourselves as a Christian. We must be bold and how we dress. We must be bold in where we go because we will be seen. You have a bad something or other day and you quick run to town, you can bet somebody that you don't want to see you is going to see you. And quite possibly, you quick threw on the t-shirt, you quick threw on the scuds or the whatever, and you were maybe just you just weren't even thinking, and somebody saw you, or they heard, they saw you when you're talking, they what they saw you in doing or whatever, it was a bad testimony. Because he says that with all boldness, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. And see, that's what we have going on today is grace. There's grace everywhere with a lot of these Paul folks. And grace, this is the dispensation of grace. But we don't have God's grace, so what we do in our body would be shameful to people that see it. So yeah, modesty, loudness, us men, how we talk, how we behave, how we run our business, how we are in our business that we work for. And we should be bold about it. Not arrogant, not rude, not sarcastic, but proper. That's a good verse. That's an excellent verse. I tend to say that that's an old-fashioned verse. You know what I mean? Because in the olden days, people were they're covered. And that gives God the glory. And that's not happening today. 500 degrees outside, and you still got on a sweater. Because it's not 500 degrees in here. I know that. But that's being bold in your testimony. You should be like we should be. So, yes, kind. Yes, handle the bitterness because it's a lack of grace. Yes, meekness. But yes, bold as well. And let God show you how to balance those things out. Amen.